This is Terminal Thoughtsies. I'm Aaron. And this is episode 80, kind of, sort of. Zach was at Pro Tour Dominaria. He managed to sit down with Kevin Jones. His day two run was definitely the story of the show. Both of us will be at SCGCon this weekend, so if you're going to be down there, definitely keep an eye on Twitter and keep an eye out for us. Zach is playing in the Invitational. I will be playing the Modern Classic and Question Mark. So I will be milling about probably. If you see me, give me a shout, and we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming starting next week.
Hi, everybody. I'm Zach from Turn One Thoughtsies, and I am joined here by Kevin the Daddy Jones.
How's it going?
Daddy.
So, Kevin, I think everyone's familiar with your Pro Tour run this weekend, but can you get us started by telling us how you actually qualified for the Pro Tour?
So, last year I won a Grand Prix in 2017, and it qualified me for Pro Tour Kyoto, which I think was Hour of Devastation, if I'm right. But either way, I didn't want to go to Japan because, I mean, Japan is a cool place, but so many hours in the airplane that I was just like, oh, I don't really think I can handle it or whatever.
Sure.
It just freaks me out. Get anxious about stuff like that. But anyway, so I was like, oh, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to defer my invite to Albuquerque. So that was Pro Tour Ixalan, the first one of this year. And before the end of the last season, with the GP, the points from the GP win and the points from the World Magic Cup in the end of 2016, I was able to just reach silver. So I had another invite too. So I did play two Pro Tours this year.
Sure.
And so I used my silver invite for this one. I didn't want to pay for the flight to Spain and all that.
Sure.
So I went to Ixalan, bombed out, got the minimum points, skipped Spain, went to this one, and yeah, did okay.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, I think the run was pretty impressive, even if it came up a little short.
But. Yeah. But this was it was like, if I don't do well at this, I'm back to PDQs and all that. So
sure.
Yeah, so it was kind of important to do well, and it's pretty cool to make, you know, almost the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, did it actually qualify you for gold? Are you up there yet?
No. I got 35 points in the tournament, the 35 regular points for gold, but I qualified for the next Pro Tour.
Sure.
And then I'll lock silver when I show up to the next Pro Tour.
Okay, cool.
If I don't get any other GP points. So I guess, like, if I, you know, crush a couple GPs, top 8-ed, and then, like, you know, had a couple X3s, I could probably gold, but...
Sure.
Oh, well, I mean, if I do well at the next Pro Tour.
Yeah, I mean...
Plus anything else, I could gold for next year.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, if I got, like, 12 points again, or whatever, like I did this weekend, then I probably could gold again.
Yeah, I mean, 12 points is a huge, it's like almost a third of gold by itself, right?
So it's like, you have to win a GP and get second at a GP, or like, win a GP, it's like 1.5 GP wins.
Yeah.
Is going, you know, top 24 in the Pro Tour or whatever, is absurd.
Yeah, no, I mean, points are really heavy here, but that's awesome. It sounds like you're probably going to be silver at least next year, so.
Yeah. So it's exciting to play some Pro Tours and play some Grand Prix tournaments and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it gets you a flight, too, right?
I'll have a flight. Pretty sure I have a flight to the Team Pro Tour.
Yep.
Minneapolis. I don't get a flight to Atlanta, though.
Sure. Okay. Well, still, not too bad. Do you have a team for that? Do you know?
No. So, I don't actually know how it works, so I want to, like, misinform the listeners. But as far as I know, I have to go and, like, play. I have be added to, like, a group of people who are qualified but don't have a team.
Sure.
It's like silver level pros and then some other people who qualified through like doing well at this Pro Tour and stuff like that. So I'm going to find people who I like, presumably out of that, or I know who are good or whatever, and then we're going to try to figure it out.
Yep,
whatever, though.
Yep.
It's cool to at least be in the pool of people who are available, so maybe someone will pick me up. That'll be sweet. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, for real, you got some connections. You could have a sick team.
People probably want me to play Modern. They'll probably be like, you should play Modern because you are an SCG guy, so go play Modern for us. I'll be like, but like, I qualified for the Pro Tour because I really like playing Standard. And it's like, you know, but yeah. Whatever. But,
Well, yeah, speaking of Standard, how did you come to your deck for this event? Did you do any testing? How did you end up on Blue Black?
I did some testing. I played a handful of leagues. I played other leagues before that with Raph Capuchin, but I could not make him work.
Right, that's fair.
He is my friend. However, he is not very good right now.
Totally fair.
The red decks play Disintegration and Abrade, and all of those trade for it for less mana than it costs to cast it. It does have Flash, so, like, you can, you know, use your mana when they've used theirs, so then make them use their mana at a higher cost on the next turn.
Sure.
But, like, it's still just not cutting it. Like, they're just doing Karthikeyan and, like, all sorts of grown-up stuff, and Wrath Caption can't really hack it. But anyway, I wanted to play Esper. A couple Esper Knights decks, like, really, really stood out to me. And then there was this Esper midrange deck that 7-1 the mocks. It's actually is an SCG guy, Ted Felicetti is the dude's name.
Yep.
Ted Panic on Moto.
Okay.
But he 7-1 the mocks, and it turned out that was like a variation on Ely's deck. And Ely was who I was working with for the Pro Tour.
Sure.
Some of the people I tested with, Ely Cassis, Noah Walker, Andrew Tenjum, Jack Kiefer.
Sure.
Those guys were part of the we had a couple hotel rooms for a few days and did that. So we just played, had 5 or 6 people in the room. We're all sitting around, there's food and stuff, and we're just playing. There's a whole bunch of laptops open, just battling. I was working on whatever blue mid-range deck I could find, and I played a couple leagues with this Esper deck. And, like, at one point, my hand was, my board was Aether Hub, Glacial Fortress, and my hand was Ravenous Chupacabra, Vraska's Contempt. I think it was Fatal Push, and then I think it was another Vraska's Contempt or another Chupacabra, and a Scarab God. And I was just like, I'm good. I'm done. I'm done trying to play Esper. I'm gonna just cut the white. And the other option, I guess, would have been to cut the blue.
Sure.
Or, like, black-white vehicles. But I felt like that deck didn't have enough interaction.
Sure.
I thought the cards I really liked the most were the Scarab God and Vraska's Contempt, so blue-black ends up, you know, filling all those spots.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up playing this blue-black mid-range deck that Ely was working on. Played a league, and I went 4-1, and my deck was, like, Kite Sail Freebooters and a bunch of weird stuff, like a bunch of creatures.
Sure.
It's like Kite Sail Freebooters, main deck Doomfalls, stuff like that. And then he ended up cutting all of the creatures to make their, like, all of the 2-drop creatures to make the removal bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, ended up with the siphoners in the board so that we can just have them against the other mid-range decks and against the, control decks.
Sure.
And you don't get Chain Whirler.
I was gonna say, that card getting Chain Whirler is pretty brutal.
I think it's possible I'm supposed to have it against black-white vehicles also, although I didn't bring it in there.
Okay.
I basically just played the control deck there. It's just like,
sure.
Trade, tap out for the Scarab God.
And win, yeah.
And you cross your fingers, and then have Lilian Dust Majesty so that you can, like, plus, and then if you hit the Scarab God or discard at the Champion Wits, the next turn you just minus with untapped mana.
Yep.
And, like, that's how you put them in a real tough spot.
Yep.
Then they have to go to the Scarab God, and you have a bunch of stuff in play.
Sure.
So, yeah, so that's basically, the deck did a lot of really powerful things. It just happens to have, like, the main issue, well, anyone who watched the covers knows the main issue is it's really slow.
Yeah.
So, like, I had 2 draws in the tournament, one of which was on camera, the other one was round 4.
Sure.
And my opponents would have been dead, like, within the next 30 seconds or whatever.
Yep.
Like, you know, one to two more turns,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I would have been able to
dead.
Win both matches. Yeah, yeah. So, Marcio matched. I could have done a million things differently, and I mean, I'm going to think about it for a while. I try not to dwell on the past, because it's all a good finish, but I'm going to be thinking about that match for a while. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think the deck is pretty good. I think it needs to kind of slide from really, really heavy on 4-drops to like, a little bit more balanced with some 2-drops in there to make it so that you can play 2 things in 1 turn more often. But Aether Meltdown was super key against Karthikeyan. And it was a pretty cool addition that Ely made. So, like, we ended up playing, like, a Search for Iskanta, a Bloodfast, and 2 Aether Meltdowns in the 2-drop slot.
Okay.
As well as, like, 2 Ballistas and a Syncopate.
Sure.
And a single cast down as well. So we had some cheap removal, but I also think we could have played, like, Seeker Squire is a card that I missed.
Sure.
But he said he considered but didn't like. That card, like, puts a card in your graveyard. You can mill a Scarab God and then Liliana it right back, so then you have, like, 2 5 mana permanents they can't deal with.
Sure.
So that card, like, adds that angle. Also, it, like, can draw you a land, which makes, like, your champion discards easier.
Yep.
And, like, makes you hit your lands, because you want all your lands all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to, like, discard excess lands to champion, but then like you want to hit your seventh land so you can like block and flash it back.
Sure.
So there's a lot of stuff going on there too. But another card that could be good is Gifted Aetherborn.
Yep.
Kenji Samura played that card, and I believe that Oliver Pollack-Rotman also was talking about blue-black and likes it and was playing that card too. Okay. So I think that, and some people were playing Charter Course, which I don't know if I like either. You don't really, it's not really, you can't really reliably attack without Siphoner.
I was going to say, it's a lot worse if you have less two drops.
Yeah. It's cool if you can just, like, reanimate the Scour battle, like, if you're just aggressively doing that. One guy I know was playing, like, Vraska and Muldrotha on the splash.
Okay.
And, like, being a little bit more graveyard-based and then having a little green splash, which is interesting, too. But I don't know, I like the deck. I think the deck has potential. I felt like I could compete with Black-Red, and it seemed like the rest of the tournament actually just couldn't.
Sure.
Like, if you look through the 7-3s, the 8-2s, and everything, it's all Black-Red, like, one or two snake decks, a handful of control decks, like, almost no black-white decks, almost no other blue mid-range decks. But, like, this one was, like, slanted to being able to compete with them.
Sure.
I think that you just need to find the right balance of, like, velocity and like, removal. So that you can make sure that you can see enough cards, but also, like, have enough cheap cards at the right time.
Yep.
But, like, when I played Owen, not close. Sure. When I played Marcio, should have won. I beat another black-red player, so that's 1-1-1. And I thought I had Takamura in game 3, and he drew Bloodfast the turn after I duressed him, and that was that. So
yeah, Bloodfast was brutal.
His deck was different, though. His deck was set up really well to combat like other decks that are removal-heavy, because he just had a ton of Planeswalkers and his own Contempts, because like, most of the time you just like put the Scarab God into play, and they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, they either kill it, they either disintegrate it and attack you to death, or they're dead.
Yep.
So, like, that wasn't the dynamic with that matchup. Like, I couldn't just play to the Scarab God, so it changed everything a lot.
Sure.
But I think his deck was really good, too. I think it was better against all the other black-red decks. I really liked his deck.
Yeah, it looked like he went a little bigger for the mirror. It looked like
that. Main deck Contempt. Like,
yep.
I didn't know he was, like, stuck on 3 in game 1 and, like, not conceding. And I was like, well, like, it doesn't seem like he can get out of this. And then, like, he drew his fourth land and he, like, slammed it and Contempted my Scarab God. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. But I thought that, I was like, oh, maybe he has Contempt because he's not dead yet, which is weird. But it was pretty interesting card choices. He went up to 3 post-boards, so that was pretty cool. And Sorcerer's Spyglass, so he was really well-equipped to basically stop my inevitability and then just grind me to death with Planeswalker's Bloodfast. Sure. But, you know, I mean, that's enough about my deck, I guess. It's fine.
Well,
it's
going forward, do you think you'd make any changes to it?
Yeah, I would try to find more 2s.
Okay.
Either Aetherborn or a couple Seeker Squires. I think that the added card draw from the Seeker Squire is sweet. I think that main deck expertise wasn't the best. It was cool.
Sure.
It was cool. You just don't have enough cheap things to put into play off.
Yeah, so it's like, just a 4
half
mana.
Half the time I cast it, I didn't have a thing to put into play.
Sure.
But I also, a few times I cast it, I went, expertise your board, Doomfall, take your Planeswalker out of your hand, or expertise your board, never return your Planeswalker.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really sick. The never return's a really good call. We actually played this deck last format, and it felt like it was missing 3s when we played it, because we were heavy on 2s, it wasn't Chain Whirler yet, and I think the never return's a great call there.
Getting your champion Chain Whirler is fine. Also, you can, like, if you have Tapland plus a 2 on 3, then you can, like, play champion on 4 with a land up, and then, when they Chain Whirler you leave it back like you're going to block. I mean, it's back to block, and then when they Chain Whirler you pre-combat, you get to push their guy or push their other attacker or whatever.
Sure.
So that's sweet. Chain Whirler is actually, like, not the biggest problem for the deck. The bigger problem was, like, well, Bloodfast is definitely unreal against the sideboard.
Not beatable.
The cards that were, like, really good against the deck is, like, Heart's pretty good against us, despite having 6 answers to it. You really don't want to be contempting it. It's just a bad trade.
Sure.
Scrounger was pretty good in that regard, too. But, like, all those things, you know, push is good against them. But if you don't draw your pushes, like, you're a little bit tight.
Yep.
On getting your cards out of your hand before they kill you. But otherwise, I think I'd say that the cards that were the best against the deck is, like, History Benalia is really good against the deck. Planeswalkers in general were pretty good. Spyglass was pretty good out of the board. A card that I cannot beat in any capacity is the Antiquities War.
Yeah,
but I played against it, so I just had to keep counter magic up the entire game and ended up drawing because of that. But that deck seemed... I don't know if it was good. It was certainly interesting. It's good against blue-black midrange, for sure.
Sure.
Commit is a card that would make the deck if you were allowed to play more cards in your deck, but with the present number of fours, there's no room for it, and you have to make some sort of concessions.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know, I made a couple changes. I'd add a couple twos. I'd cut an expertise, put it in the board. I might move the Hulk to the main. Hulk was kind of dece. I boarded it in, like, I think every round.
Sure.
But also, like, the Snapcaster Mage guy is going to Snapcaster Mage when you let him. So, like, I'm just going to put, like, if there's a Hulk in my sideboard, I'm just going to board it in because that's who I am as a person.
Yeah, you might as well.
You probably can't take it with you when you go, I guess, right?
No, absolutely. So, another topic that was kind of on the forefront of everyone's mind going into this Pro Tour was how dominant blue-white control was, and it doesn't really look like it showed up here. Do you have any guesses as to why there wasn't very much blue-white control at all?
Because reacting in a format where everyone is really good. Whew, excuse me. Lots of battling over the past 3 days. I'm a little tired, but
that's fair.
When you're reactive and people are as good at, like, maximizing the efficiency of their turns as the people with the Pro Tour are, it's really dangerous to play a deck that, you know, prides itself on leaving mana up. Also, sure. People were starting to adapt in that, like, Contempt was kind of starting to creep back into the format.
Sure.
And also, like, people were starting to wise up and, like, Doomfall people in main deck. I saw people main decking Duress.
Okay.
Kaisel Freebooter was making the rounds online.
Sure.
And I still think that, like, that's a defensible Magic card in some decks. Especially Scarab God decks. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that blue-white is a fine deck on power level, but a tough choice. And it didn't not show up. Like, there was probably, like, 30 or 40 of them.
Sure. It just didn't do very well.
It was split into blue-white control and blue-white Teferi, which I don't really know what that means in the metagame breakdown.
That's fair.
I guess blue-white Teferi is what they call historic, but then I saw blue-white Teferi and it was just control.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what
whatever.
They actually had, red-black midrange and red-black aggro, and they named Owen's list red-black aggro and Reed's list red-black midrange, and they were playing the same 75.
Online. That's weird.
Yeah, right?
That's weird. I thought that the difference was Bobat Courier. Well, maybe not. Maybe they just named it whatever, like,
yeah.
Who cares? But yeah, I don't know. I think Blue Eye Control, like I said, powerful base level, but really good when people don't know how to correctly play around things, and really tough when they do.
Sure.
Like, you're never going to get someone who walks into 3 open mana with a threat, and then passes on turn 4 and lets you go.
Sure.
Like, that's not going to happen. They're going to make you settle their 2 creatures so you time walk them, and not be like, oh, he has settle, I can't win, so I'm just going to say go.
Sure.
And then, like, he's going to settle my 7 creatures on turn 10 or whatever instead. Sure. Like, that's what happened. I just played against people, you know, at, like, the Baltimore weekend who just, like, didn't really understand how settle worked with, like, people having open mana. Like, eventually, it's not getting any... If you don't have, like, a way to counter it or make me discard it in game 1, it's not getting any better for you waiting. You have to, like, decide what's going to get settled so that you can, you know, just rebuild.
Yep.
And people with the Pro Tour are going to be like, yeah, you can kill my two drop and my 3 drop. I'll add 2 lands and, like, just do a bunch of stuff next turn.
Sure.
Like, I was trying to get Greg Orange to settle me when I played against Blue-White Control so that I could just Scarab God with, like, a million mana untapped.
Sure.
And eventually he did settle me, but, like, he was trying to settle Champion, and it was wild because I, like, tried to kill it in response, and then he settled again in response. It was super cool. It was a really interesting turn that I think I messed up because I could have Scarab Godded Hulk and then the Fatal Push my own Champion.
Okay.
I tried to, like, Ballista my Champion in response to settle.
Yeah.
And he settled again in response, so I'm supposed to use my Scarab God that I didn't attack with because he didn't want to get settled and get back his gear or a gear hole from his graveyard, and because the Ballista died, push my own Champion.
Sure.
And then it goes to the graveyard and I can unearth it.
Okay.
Later on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an absurd situation. But I saw it and then, like, decided not to do it because I didn't want to activate my Scarab God. And then the next turn, he, like, fumigated and then countered my Scarab God and I lost.
Yep.
I ended up winning the match, but I lost game 1 and, like, that's, like, the only way I can lose there. It's kind of frustrating, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
he
still pulled it out.
Pretty sweet turn overall. I wouldn't play blue-white. Heart of Cairn is also just a beating.
Yeah, Heart of Cairn's really good in this format.
It's just, you don't really have to do anything. Just put it into play.
Yep.
You attack your opponent a bunch of times, and they're dead.
It's a 2-mana Sarah Angel.
You attack them, like, 2 or 3 times, and then they have to start doing weird things to try to deal with it.
Yep.
And then you have free reign to, like, do whatever you want. And all these decks, what they do is they, like, Heart is, like, the jab. And then when people finally deal with Heart, they just, like, slam Chandra or Karin and, like, up.
Yep.
And, like, they just go, oh, you thought this was about aggro. This is about me, like, burying you in card advantage because you've been casting one for ones the first three turns, and now I'm going to draw three extra cards in a row.
Yep.
Like, so these red-black decks are actually really good at, like, the pump fake and making you think that it's about aggro when it's actually about, like, a mid-range game or, like, a grindy game. And the thing is, they can close to Chandra deals damage, Karn makes constructs, so, like, it's not like they can't, you know, push the envelope, too.
Sure.
But they're really flexible, and they're really good in that regard. They really remind me of, like, almost like the old modern Grixis decks that were, like, good spells and, like, God Scour plus a couple Bell creatures. Like,
sure.
It's almost like that.
Okay, no, that actually is a really sweet comparison.
But, yeah, I don't know. Decks are really good, and Heart of Care is really good, so don't play blue-white, I guess.
It's fair, no. So, I guess next weekend is the SCG Invitational. I don't personally expect the standard metagame to change very much. Do you see any big changes happening?
So it's a split-format tournament, which means that people who qualified for Modern, which is, sorry. You can edit out all my yawning if you want. It's just the daddy has been defeated on the field of battle.
Okay.
2-1 in team drafts takes a lot out of you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that people will just pick a deck and run it, because sure. A lot of people are going to qualify through their modern expertise or what have you. So I think you'll see a lot of the Pro Tour decks.
Makes sense.
I do think that, like, I think Chain Whirler is probably too good, but I do think there's a deck that beats Black Red.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly what it is. I think it plays Fatal Push and Vraska's Contempt, and I don't know what else. Like, maybe it's Black-White Vehicles with, like, more black cards.
Sure.
And, like, more mid-range cards. Like, I don't know. I looked at, like, Black-White Splashing Teferi, and I liked it, but if you can make the mana work for Esper, and you can make it so you can get your cards out of your hand, your histories, like Pressure of the Planeswalkers, you have Push, and, like, Contempt for Heart of Kieran. You can even Meltdown if you really want to, and then use your hubs aggressively to make mana. Whatever, but Gideon's Reproach is a card that sees occasional play from the control decks. I don't know, though. I think that people will just play a lot of Black-Red, and then Modern will be whatever people play.
Sure.
Also, I think there'll be more control of the invitation. I think there'll be a fair amount of Esper control.
Sure.
And even Blue-White control to a lesser extent.
No, I believe that. I think there's a lot of people that have played, you know, their deck in Standard, because most of the SCG players are Modern, right? So
yeah. Like I know Zan Syed and some of the Lotus Box guys are huge proponents of the Black-White mid-range or Vehicles deck.
Sure.
So I doubt they're straying off of that. They'll probably just tweak it to make it good against Black-Red.
Sure.
Black-Red has, like, a lot of problems, but also is just, like, a bunch of powerful cards.
Yeah, it's hard to beat just a pile of mythics, right?
Yeah, it's just, like, all the best cards. It's dumb. But yeah, I don't know. I think that the Invitational should be exciting. I think we're going to see some people try to, like, pick a standard deck that, like, aligns with their modern deck, you know? Like, I could see some Affinity players and Burn players being drawn to Vehicles, but I could also see, like, some Jund players being drawn to Black-Red Vehicles, too, for, like, the same reasons that I mentioned earlier, which is, like, it's flexible, it's kind of sweet, but it's also aggressive, and, like, can go wide. It's a cool strategy, it's very good. Yeah, I don't know. I think that the control players will play control. Like, you'll see people register Teferi as a 2-of in Jeskai and as a 4-of in Blue-White and Standard. But,
that'll be me. I will have Teferi in my deck next weekend. I don't know what I'm playing, but he'll be there.
I think the best control deck is Blue-Black Splashing Teferi.
Sure.
Because Fatal Push is good. You have enough untapped lands that Teferi is, like, the only real white card you play. You play, like, one or two cast outs.
Yep.
You can sideboard Wrath Capuchin, or you can sideboard Lyra if you really want to.
Ooh, I like that.
But you just play, like, a few weeks ago, Yuya Watanabe 6-2'd the Mox, and his deck was like Scarab God Hulk, 2 Teferis.
Okay.
Just blue black control with 2 Teferis.
And I think that's actually what they showed up with, was Team Musashi, the premier Japanese team, played a blue black control deck splashing Teferi, and very, very similar to, I think, Ernest Lim was his name, who top 8'd, so definitely that's a viable archetype.
Yeah, I think that's a defensible control deck. I think that maybe I would play that at the Invitational, just because there's going to be different Like, it's not the same game as this. Like, I wanted to be able to tap mana in this tournament because I was concerned about people knowing exactly what to do when I didn't.
Sure.
Which is, it's like not the best feeling, you know? Like, it's frustrating to be like, oh, they played around everything in my hand.
Yeah.
And, like, I had main deck Yhany's expertise in this tournament, and one of my opponents played around it in the dark in game one.
What? That's awesome. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why they're pros,
He said, because I Doomfalled his Heart of Kieran, it was the only card I could have that made sense.
Sure.
And he said it's the only thing he could lose to, so he didn't play his Toolcraft Exemplar, and I took like 8 extra damage from my Heart of Kieran because he didn't play his Toolcraft Exemplar. Unbelievable.
Yeah, right?
Pro Tour, these guys are real.
Yeah, they're good.
Players are great. It's awesome.
Yep. No, totally
fair. It's so cool. I'm so happy to be a part of it, honestly. It's great. But yeah, man. Good talk, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure having you on. Definitely best of luck next weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. You're going to be battling, right?
I will be there. I will be there. Probably registering Teferi in Standard. Maybe in Modern. We'll see.
Come back to the Jeskai. Jeskai way, man.
I might have to. We'll see. I played it 2 weeks ago in, I think it was Louisville?
Yeah.
Yeah, Louisville. I think it was Louisville. I played it there, and the deck felt very, very strong.
Did you get the old top 32, or how'd you do?
No, I think I bombed out day two.
It's a good SCG.
I came in at 6-3 and then like finished in 50th place.
It's a really good SCG open deck. 50th place is cash, that's fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't spectacular by any means.
It's a really good SCG open deck, though.
Like, yeah, no, it is.
Control's really good for the SCG tour.
Definitely.
It has a lot of good sideboard cards. It's good against linear aggressive decks.
Yeah, and I mean, you should expect to see a ton of humans. It's good there. A ton of affinity.
It's not as good there as people think it is, but yes, it is still good there.
Well, it actually can be, like, if you want to beat humans, you can make your deck beat humans very well.
You can make it so that you crush them.
Yeah, you just have to kind of give up on counter magic, which makes you worse other places, but, I mean, that's really
what it's not something I'm ever inclined to do, honestly.
I think the last time I played it, I was XO against humans with Jeskai, so the matchup is quite good. We'll see what I end up playing, though. I've been playing something else spicy online, so.
Same here, I think. I played a Jeskai deck in Hartford. I played against humans once, and I crushed it.
Okay.
But I've definitely lost to humans before.
Sure, no, and you definitely can. Well, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, dude, thank you, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate everyone listening, and that's great.
Cool.
I'll make sure to give it a share and everything when it comes out.
Cool.
But yeah, dude, thank you.